Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The following is a paid program. The views or claims made are not necessarily those of WILK staff, management, or sponsors.
It started with two women. And well, today, it's still two women, but not just any women. It's Laurie and Lynn.
Who can turn the world on with a smile?
Laurie and Lynn, giving Northeast Pennsylvania local talk to start your weekend right.
Suddenly make it all seem worthwhile.
And now, celebrating their 10th year on the air on WILK News Radio, here's Laurie and Lynn.
Love is all, no need to waste it. You can have a town, why don't you take it? You're gonna make it after all.
All right. Hi, everybody. Welcome to our little world for an hour.
Aren't we lucky?
Oh, yes. Aren't we? Aren't we? So how was your week? You're going to make it after all, Lynn.
Oh, that's right.
So what?
How was your week?
My week was good. It was the start of novena.
Yeah, I wanted you to talk about that because
yes.
You didn't mention anything about it up to this point.
Oh, no, yes.
I know that's important to you to go every day.
It is, and more important is it that my mom is not with us this year, and she used to go all the time.
Yes.
And when we were little, as I told you, we had to go every night at 7 or 7:30, whatever the late one is, and go to Mass, and so we would have dinner, and then my father would say, you could go out for a little bit. Be ready. When I call you, we're leaving. And then we would all leave, and he would let us, and we didn't mind it that much. We did because it was like, oh, God. But then we always got to go to the snack stand afterwards to get a popsicle or whatever we wanted.
Okay.
We were able, my father would bribe us with, okay, then we'll go get a popsicle or something. So,
did he attend too?
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay.
Oh, absolutely. We had to go to church every morning for Lent except Saturday. And Sunday we went anyway because that was the day day he didn't disturb us was Saturday. But during the week we had to be at Mass every day for Lent and then novena. It's 10 days of novena. So it's sort of, you know, and it's a West Side thing. It's right there on the hill, a miracle on the hill. And the last several years now, I always went here and there as mm-hmm. when I moved back to this area. But now for the last, I'm going to say 10 years or so, I've been going every day to novena with the help of God. I'm there. And
usually you tell us about something that you got from the homily.
Yes, and I'm going
really
to, which is funny. This was more funny than not.
Okay.
Father Rick Frechette is in. He's a doctor and lives in Haiti, but he's also obviously a priest. So he lives in Port-au-Prince, and he was here 5 years ago. He's a dear friend of my brother-in-law, Ed Englesby, and my sister knows him because Barbara has gone to Haiti several times, but Ed goes more often. Now, and Father Rick is back, and he gave the first sermon yesterday. So he said, I want you to know that this place is truly a magical place. It's where miracles happen on this hill, you know, of course it does. And he said, and I want you to know, though, I experienced a miracle elsewhere. And so everyone's like, what does he mean? He said, well, I was coming from Haiti to Scranton. And I don't know if he meant from Haiti to Scranton, or I don't think so. I think whatever his destination was from Haiti to wherever, from then, so from the wherever then to Scranton, he said that he, there were about 20 wheelchairs or so with people getting into the plane, and then the plane took off, you know, being wheeled in, so, you know.
Yeah,
that.
That's a
and
lot.
Well, he might be exaggerating, okay. And I might be. It might not be exactly 20. I'm just hear me out.
Okay, go ahead.
And he said, and so then we had the plane trip, and the miracle happened in the air, because when we got off the plane, everyone needed to get out, and half of those people didn't need their wheelchairs to get on it. which was Perfect.
Oh, that's
so
great.
And that's how we started, which I thought was, he goes, so that was a true miracle. but he was just saying that he had a heart issue. And that when he could feel, he said he felt his heart actually feeling like a fish was flopping inside of his chest. It turned out that he had AFib due to not being, not taking care of himself with his high blood pressure medicine. And that's, thank God, that's all it was. But he mm-hmm. said that he catastrophized, of course, at first. Oh, my God, I'm going to die. I'm having a heart attack. What am I going to do? Blah, blah. And then he said, instead of being afraid of it, I kind of pulled back from it and thought, I'm going to like go with this. If this is what it is, I've had a wonderful life, 66 years, blah, blah, blah. But that wasn't what it was. So he was just saying, though, that it made him think that if you keep your heart has to be taken care of, your spiritual heart as well as your physical heart. And if you carry grudges and don't talk to people and use that, I'm paraphrasing all this, but this is what I gleaned from this conversation, that it just eats away at you, and the negativity just kind of festers inside of you, and just let it go. Have a dialogue, talk to people, don't let things build up. Talk, because it's always better to have some form of dialogue than it is to keep it all built up inside. So, and you know, that makes you think about a lot of things. So always better to discuss, which you don't have to, you know, look at me. I like to hear, hey, we're on this talk show, so it's all good to talk. But I would prefer that than to not talk.
Okay.
Anyway, so it was, so it was good. Now the other priest, because there's always two, will be there today. So we'll see what he has to say. But, it was and it was hotter than you know what.
Yes.
H-E double toothpicks yesterday, right?
Yes.
So I get my, Randy said, I said, oh, I something about my buddy who's one of the cops, the city of Scranton cop, and I usually see him at Novena. And Randy said, dear God, please don't tell me you have a special parking lot, parking space at Novena, too. I said, well, I sort of do, but it doesn't have anything to do with the cops. It's just on purpose I get there earlier than I, just because, you know, for the first one, I made sure I got there. And so I was sitting in my car with the air on and doing some work until I had to go mm-hmm. get out and sit under the tent. And I have to say that you're under a tent, but there is a breeze up there.
That's the top of the hill.
Top of the hill. And yeah. I did not feel warm. I did. It was truly a miracle to yes. that tent, because it was cool. There was a breeze. And then I saw afterwards Father Lee Havey, who speaks. He's done a few. He spoke for us for some of our prayer breakfast for hospice. And he's just a doll. His mother's a sweetheart. And I saw him as he was coming around. And he said, you know, your sister has done an outstanding job, because of course my sister and her crew have done all of the plantings and all the flowers and all of that for Novena outside. She probably did inside, but I don't go in. I always stay outside. And he said she's just done an incredible job, and she does, from the watering and keeping it up. It's a lot of work, and Barbara does it for them every year. She's a member of the parish. So he was saying, just want to tell you, your sister, you know, doing a great job. And I said, I know, it's incredible. And he said, oh, and I just want to tell you, I tell that story you told, and I get laughs all the time. He meant the story I said at my mother's funeral about the beautiful breasts. He said, I tell that story and I get laughs. So I'm like, okay. So I called my sister. I said, Barbara, Father Lee said you did a great job. And she said, I know, he's always so complimentary every time I see him. And I said, and he told me that he tells the story about mommy that I told at her funeral. And she was laughing. And it you know, made us chuckle, because Barbara said, I'm going to be honest, this is going to be tough for me, because all of these firsts every year within the first year a parent dies, you know, we that's either tough. Barbara took my mother or I had my mother, and she would always go. My grandmother would come with us. It's... Mm-hmm. Just more of a tradition, but anyway, it was a good day, and the rain held out until the very end. So it was the beginning was a good day. So let's say that.
All right, that's good.
And of course, the snack stand was doing well, and all the kids with their little goodies, and oh, it's amazing.
So how much did you consume?
Nothing. I don't go there anymore.
Just for old time's sake?
I don't go there anymore. No, right into my car. But it's so cute to see the kids because they're always, yes. they want, and that stand has grown now. I mean, there's everything you can get now. Mm-hmm. So if you're up there and you're at Novena, support it because it does go back to the church. So okay. It's a good thing. So that's my take on that.
Reminds me that there's something I wanted to say a while ago and I keep forgetting, so I'm going to say it now, but I don't have all the particulars with me. But there is an event going on at the JCC in September, and I don't have the dates. I will promise I will get back to everybody listening about this. But it's an opportunity for people who have situations with some form of mental compromise, let's call it that, and people with dementia, Alzheimer's, cognitive, whatever they call that stuff. There's another term for it. But it's called the Memory Cafe, and it's going to be held at the JCC during the day. And the idea is that you will bring someone who is dealing with that kind of an issue, and they have activities for them that stimulates their brains and keeps them engaged and socializes them with other people. And it is something that we're looking to get maybe 10 people at a minimum to get started on this. And if you want any more information on it, you can call the JCC in Scranton and get some idea of what the dates are and when. So if you're interested, call them and sign up. And I promise we'll get back with more. Maybe I'll post it on our Facebook page.
Great.
Information.
That's a good thing to
it's
do.
It's a good thing. Very
Great.
Good thing.
Yeah. And so, shout out last night, my Tommy, your Patrick, you and yours truly went to dinner at La Cucina, and we haven't been there in how we, yeah. I go, we haven't been as a group, but we do because we have our investment club there every other month.
And I'd say I haven't been there in 10 years.
Really?
Easily. Yeah, easily, 10 years, maybe longer.
Wow.
I just never think of the place.
I know. I
just never put it on my list of places to go.
Well, it was great. We had a good time.
It was, and the food was really good.
And the food was delicious, yes.
Yeah,
so. And we have to give a big shout out to Marie.
Yes.
Your classmate.
Marie Antosha.
Lynn said, is that Marie Antosha? And I said, yes. And she said, we graduated high school together. So then that was so cute when you said Marie, Lynn Evans. And she, so cute to see those kind of reunions,
yes.
You know? Those little mini reunions.
We have our 50th this fall.
I know. Are you going? You said you weren't.
I don't know. We didn't talk.
Well, you have to go.
I have the form. I keep staring at it. Send it in. You know, I don't know why. I just, first of all, it's a weekend in September, the first weekend, I think, of September. And that is, generally speaking, one of the weekends at the lake where it's a big event because everybody wants to get their time in on boating before we have to pull the boats out of the water. And so many of our friends who could not come during the summer come up on those two or three weekends in September. And it's absolutely beautiful to be out there in September. So I don't know. I just, there's an event on Friday night at the Radisson where it's a open bar, come meet everybody and say hi, and then there's a formal event the next day in the evening. So I can go to one or the other or both. So I don't know.
Well, to do compromise and do the Friday night and then leave Saturday morning to go up or
well,
right
that's
after.
That's what I was thinking I might do.
Yeah, that's nice.
But anyway.
50 years, baby. I'm out 40, so I know.
It's amazing.
I can't
to
even
me.
Believe I'm saying that.
Neither can I.
Yeah.
Was that supposed to be an old person?
Yeah, I it's like I don't even feel anywhere. It feels like it was yesterday.
I know.
So it's amazing. But yeah, so good old West Scranton High School, class of 1979. 7 and 9, two of my favorite numbers, therefore 79 also. So it's all good. So it's a good one. So anything else this weekend before we
This week, no.
Break?
There wasn't much, a lot of anything that went on, really. So I'd have to say no. I have nothing to report.
You had a boring weekend?
Yeah, really we did.
Wow.
It was so hot.
Yeah.
I didn't do much on Sunday. I took the boat out and that was it. But for the most part, it was pretty, there we were.
Mm-hmm.
Doing not much.
Well, I want to say, too, just to plug a little, our fourth annual Hospice of the Sacred Heart Walk, Remembrance Walk, will take place on September 28th at McDade Park. Tickets are $25 before the middle of September and $30 after. And if you go as a group, five or more, it's $20. For breakfast, lunch, a bag, a reusable bag, a long sleeve T-shirt, performance T-shirt, and a couple other goodies are thrown in there. So it's a good thing. Gift pull, 50-50, basket raffles, music, balloon release. It's great. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Lori and Lynn Show.
It's Saturday morning with Lori and Lynn. Now, back to Lori and Lynn.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Lori and Lynn Show. I am Lori Cadden, the owner of Lori Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising, PR, and special event business.
And I am Lynn Evans. I am the managing director of a company called Women of Substance, LLC, which is designed for the financial planning needs of baby boomer women. I'm also the host of a podcast called Power of the Purse, available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and a bunch of other places. So please subscribe. That would be fun. Let's talk about something that I would love to do more on, because I know that you and I both have a very impressive group of women friends that
yes.
we hang out with that are just really a great support, as well as each other. But this one I wanted to talk about was my college buddies. And we're just talking about the reunion for high school. So we actually, I had to remove 1 year from that. But for the most part, all of us have known each other for 50 years because, you know, the class
right.
ends in June and then you start in mm-hmm. September. And that really represents 50 years of knowing each other. I joined this group when I was in my sophomore year. So other than that, we've all been friends for that long, which is just an amazing thing in this day and age. So this year in October, we are going to go to Savannah, Georgia, and we've rented a house of Airbnb. So I forget if it's seven or eight of us. We'll all get together and spend some time there, as well as in Hilton Head, which is about a half an hour drive from Savannah. And it's just interesting because we are all so very different. And when we see how our lives evolved from who we were in a very common way, we were all seniors in college. We all were starting from the same gate. And you look at how our lives developed over 50 years, it is incredible
mm-hmm.
when you go back and think about that. The one thing that always has amazed me is that level of intimacy, I guess is what you would call it. Maybe there's a better word for it, but that level of knowing each other and being able to say things and kid with each other, and everybody gets it and everybody thinks it's funny and say things like, you crack me up, keep doing this and that. It's still there, like we were all seniors in college.
Uh-huh.
And that's an amazing trait to have happen. But one of those people, which you've heard me talk about a lot, Joan Glover, has been my friend since we were 5 years old. We've grown up together. We went to college together. We went to high school together. And we're together in an apartment. We shared an apartment when we graduated. And we've just always been in touch. We've just very close friends. Well, Joan loves to watch things on Netflix and other things like that. You know, she binge watches stuff like
yeah,
you
me
do.
Too. Yeah.
So this one, she had mentioned something a while ago about this, and I have not yet seen it, but I want to because it follows that same trend. It's called Wine Country.
Oh, yeah.
And it is...
Isn't that a movie?
Yes, a movie on Netflix. And Amy Poehler...
Yep.
From
and a whole bunch
Saturday
of gals.
Night Live and all these other women from there got together in this girls-only getaway film is the way they describe it. So AARP, the magazine, chatted with Poehler and her SNL alum co-stars, Rachel Dratch, which you don't think you know her name, but she was Debbie Downer.
Isn't it Dratch? Is it Dratch?
Maybe it's Dratch.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, Debbie
Downer.
Uh-huh.
That was her character.
Her face is molded into faces like I've never seen.
Yes,
her,
she's amazing.
Just contorts.
And then Maya Rudolph, which we've seen
everywhere.
Anna Gasteyer.
Right.
Screenwriter, which we didn't see in front of the camera. Emily Spivey. And then Amy Poehler. So they had a conversation with them about women-only weekends. And the first question was, why have them? So Gasteyer said, modern adult life is insane. I figure one lost weekend featuring moo-moos, wine, and laughing so hard your abs hurt the next day can kickstart enough serotonin to moderate your cortisol for months.
It's correct. Now, Anne is the one who was on the she and Molly Shannon on Delicious Dish.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. I was going to say that, okay. Yes. What does Meyer call us?
That's what he calls
balls.
It, yeah.
Okay. And then Maya Rudolph said, being with your close friends is such an important reset. I laugh so hard when I'm with my old friends. It's healthy. And then, is it Dratch? Is that
I think it's Rachel Dratch, but Dratch.
Dratch.
Okay. Dratch. Is it Dratch?
It's D-R-A-T-C-H.
Dratch?
Whatever.
Dratch.
Her.
It's Dratch. Jason's giving me that. Rachel Dratch.
Okay. Rachel Dratch.
There
it's
we go.
It kind of jump starts your system, doing something you don't usually do, like taking a trapeze lesson. Though the trapeze lesson is something you can try, I'll pass. That's Debbie Downer.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Navy Poehler says, human connection is the only way we will win in our eventual war with the robots. And then the question was, what to bring? And Maya Rudolph says, wine, a bathing suit and Benadryl in case of a Black Widow bite. I wanted you to
hear that. Scary.
Okay, Amy Poehler says, pillows, food, history, trust, and boundaries.
Okay.
And Spivey says, songs for a late night dance party. And then what to do? Well, Dratch said, something you wouldn't normally do at home, like a weird spa treatment or a tarot card reading.
I would love that.
And then what would you get on a weekend with the ladies versus a romantic getaway? And Rudolph says, less sex.
Yeah. Okay.
Amy Poehler said, there's nothing as special as the relationship I have with my female friends. Women are complex beings whom I continue to learn from. And Gasteyer says the only one of these getaways features worrying about acid reflux at bedtime. They're funny.
Love it.
Of course, you know, all of them are comedians, so it had to be funny. But I want to watch that. So it's on Netflix, called Wine Country.
Yeah, I see it pop up all the time.
So we'll
when
have
I'm
to
watching,
do that.
You know, the Kaminsky Method or
are you still into that?
Yeah, well I've only seen I think three and I really like it, but I was finishing everything else and now Divorce is back on. So I missed last week, so I have to catch up another
and
with
that's
another
Netflix?
One. That's HBO.
Okay.
But then Grace and Frankie, which I'm on, I told you my second time and I'll probably do it a third time. Because you miss it all, you miss something. And I laugh so hard at that show. I just can't stop laughing.
They're great. They really are.
She, I will say it again because it's worth it. Lily Tomlin is unbelievable.
Yes, she is.
Just
fabulous.
The stuff she says.
She is, and her comedic timing is incredible.
Perfect. She's the best.
All right, one other quick thing here. Should you hold a medical fundraiser?
What?
Yeah, a medical fundraiser.
What does that mean?
Using crowdfunding to pay for treatment. All right. So a Facebook post is helping 61-year-old Hedda Martin of Grand Rapids, Michigan, pay for a heart transplant.
Oh, God, love her.
Last November, Martin was in need. Her heart was failing, but her hospital, Spectrum Health, told her she couldn't be placed on the transplant list without demonstrating that she had enough money to cover 2 years' worth of immunosuppressive drugs.
Wow.
The hospital's advice in a letter, undertake a $10,000 fundraising campaign. So Martin posted the hospital's letter on her Facebook page. Others shared it, and mostly in outrage over the denial of medical service. In the ensuing viral media outbreak, Martin's son launched a crowdfunding appeal, which secured more than $30,000. While Martin's efforts may have paid off, her story exposes an unsettling reality of our healthcare system. Even with good insurance, your ability to pay can affect your treatment. And though many people try to raise money through online and social media efforts, not everyone may be able to rely on the kindness of others. This was an interesting story when the guy who did a research on this said, the people who are able to succeed with a video campaign tend to be whiter and more social media savvy and have a solid economic network surrounding them to help seal the deal. That's the truth. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's sad to say, but that's the way it works.
Wow.
So I guess we might as well wrap up here.
Yeah,
and we'll
get
back to.
That's just, you know, it's when you think about it.
Yeah.
When you think about things, just where do costs get started? Like where and who assesses cost?
Nobody can ever come back with an answer.
Right. So
for that.
What's the deal? So why should it have to cost all this?
They blame the doctors. They blame the insurance companies.
But I just mean
nobody.
Yeah, but I don't just mean in the medical field. Look at every field.
Well,
where do these cost measures come from?
I don't know.
It's bizarre. It's like the chicken or the egg. Which came first?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
There is no answer to it because nobody wants to accept responsibility for it. And it's not all theirs.
For ripping people off.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, yes. There we go. Okay.
That is how it works.
All right. Well, we are going to take a quick break. We have our wonderful guest expert, attorney Barbara J. O'Hara, who will be up next. She's a partner with Hughes, Nichols, and O'Hara. And we'll be right back. So stay tuned. You're listening to The Laurie and Lynn Show.
It's Saturday morning with Laurie and Lynn. Now, back to Laurie and Lynn.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Laurie and Lynn Show. I'm Laurie Cadden, the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising, PR, and special event business.
And I am Lynn Evans. I am the managing director of a company called Women of Substance, LLC, which is a financial planning firm specifically for the needs of baby boomer women. I'm also the host of a podcast called Power of the Purse, available on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
And with us, we have our beautiful and talented and smart guest expert, Barbara J. O'Hara.
This is why I like coming here.
See, that's right. That's it. She is a partner with Hughes, Nichols, and O'Hara on Drinker Street, 1421 Drinker Street.
Perfect.
In Dunmore. Barb has been practicing family law for 38 years, and she's...
I think she's doing.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi, how are you? Nice to join you, Women of Substance.
Can we ask one thing before we go
sure.
anywhere else? Lynn,
sure.
Lynn, the million-dollar question last night, Lynn said, you know, I was just thinking, where do you think Barb and Ray are going on their next adventure? Because we were telling Patrick all of the places that you guys go, which are amazing. So
I go far, so my office can't find me.
I know. That's the
Yeah, they haven't figured out the country code thing.
I bet you have never run into anyone anywhere, have you, in some of those wild places?
We ran into somebody that grew up with my sister-in-law, and I hear my husband's name as soon as we got into France. We got off the hovercraft, and then I hear, as we're in Calais, I hear big, loud scream. And then we were in Greece one time, and we weren't supposed to be there. We had a plane mishap on the way coming out. One of the engines went on fire, and we fortunately were okay, but it delayed us getting there. And my partner had rearranged his stuff, but my partner Boyd Hughes, and we both ended up being in the same hotel, same restaurant,
across from the Acropolis in Athens.
Wow.
And they had a reservation for him at the next table.
See,
and that
Rose
was absolutely amazing.
I love it. I saw your husband the other day and screamed at him from across the way, too.
Oh,
he gave
that's
the
nice.
Big smile and wave. So,
So
what are we talking about
today?
So
what we're talking about is the high cost of divorce.
Okay.
And we had started the last time of the financial pitfalls of divorce and what people fail to realize. And we went through... the first couple, and I wanted to finish that today. One of them is the staggering cost of health insurance. And a lot of people, particularly if you haven't paid for health insurance out of your pay, if you've been on your husband's plan or, a plan years ago, and then all of a sudden you look at this and go, wow, I can't believe health insurance would be that much.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is a sticker shock kind of thing. And there's a lot of people that are staying married just because of the high cost of health insurance. Or the divorce is being delayed because, okay, fine, I'm waiting until I can go on Medicare. Those kind of things. Or you negotiate a divorce and say, okay, fine, we'll give you, we'll stay married. We have an agreement, but we stay married for this period of time so that you can still stay on his health insurance.
Does that work?
Once the decree ends your entitlement to any kind
of
health insurance. So sometimes I've negotiated divorces that, okay, fine, we have an agreement now. We won't process the divorce to get the decree until January so that you have some extra time to get health insurance and maybe some extra time to get a job where you have benefits. Because
mm-hmm.
lots of people are working part-time jobs where they don't get benefits.
Barbara, do you find those type of divorces where there's a little or a lot more thought into what you're willing or willing not to do? Obviously, to me, that seems like they would go better. That would be a better result because people, they seem that they're both thinking about it and they're not acting in haste.
It is, but surprisingly, they're usually things that attorneys have to negotiate.
Okay.
So usually, you need to have that give and take. So, yes, they usually had to give something in order to get
to
something.
To get, all right. Okay.
I think you're envisioning that things were all very amicable, and I can think of the handful of cases where I've done this, and it wasn't really an amicable thing, but something where it's not much of an additional cost to the insurer spouse, and to say, okay, fine, I'll hold off for 6 months. We have the agreement, the agreement's in place, and nothing's going to change other than the fact that you won't get divorced until sometime in the future.
Okay.
So that's one thing. And assuming that you'll keep the home, almost all women that come in to see me will say, I want my kids, I want the house. And I will invariably ask them, can you afford your house? And they'll look at me and a fair number of them will say, well, I'm fine with the mortgage payment. I can make that mortgage payment. And then you tell them the sad reality that they'll need to refinance, and the refinancing will be pay off the mortgage. Maybe you'd have to give some of the equity to your spouse, and can you afford this amount? And that's a sticker shock kind of moment. And secondly, you have to look at this and say, okay, fine. Even if you can afford the mortgage and the insurance and the taxes, can you afford all the upkeep? And then, because sometimes I'll run into women later and they'll say to me, wow, that was expensive for me to keep the house. I found I was working a second job just to keep the house. Well, the house that you fought so hard is you're not even in much of the time mm-hmm. because you're working that second job. So I usually make women sit down, if that's what they want to do, sit down and say, okay, fine. What's the nut? What is it you have to pay? And what's a realistic number on maintenance? And even if you can get a relative that might help you on getting a mortgage, can you afford the mortgage, the insurance, the taxes, and all the expenses? And sometimes I'll have a client say to me, well, gosh,
You know, I can't do all the maintenance. I'm going to have to hire someone. Well, that's all expensive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're relying on somebody to cut the lawn and do the gardening and take care of the pool and all the other stuff, you're paying for that. So
yeah.
I think you have to realistically look at, can I really afford this house? Or is it the right time to downsize?
And I also think a lot of women who have teenage sons assume that
they're
their sons will take care of all that,
yes.
Except then they go to college and then they move away. And
there's a brief window,
yeah.
Having raised three kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a very brief window where they're cutting the lawn.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And then
they don't have time.
And then they're not.
Yeah.
So you're right. You can't assume that. The next is assuming child support and alimony will be higher or last longer. Okay, the sad reality of child support, it ends at 18 or high school graduation, whichever is the later of the two. So I'll see women, they come in, they have a 16-year-old or a 17-year-old, and you tell them that, and they look at you like, what do you mean? I won't get child support through college. Now, that's the law in Pennsylvania. You don't get it through college unless you have a very generous
spouse, yeah.
That says, you know what, I know. And to be honest with you, when you bring a child in the world and you expect to raise that child and support that child through college, to then say, well, because we got divorced, I got out of that. I don't really know that that's a real moral thing to do.
No.
But you see that all the time. And I see it all the time of people asking, well, am I obligated to do that? You are not obligated to support an adult child. But for the divorce, what would you have done? And they look at you and invariably say, of course I would have supported the child.
So why should... Drives me crazy.
I know. But
it really does.
Always you get that, well, am I obligated to do it? No, Pennsylvania law doesn't obligate you as the parent of an adult child to support them, even if the child's living with you. But realistically, is it something you would have done but for the divorce? And that's when I think occasionally I'll see somebody say, boy, I would have expected to support them anyway. So, mm-hmm. You know, why should I renege on that obligation or that feeling that I would have done it anyway? Okay, so even with some of them, I always tell my clients that if the child still stays in good communication with the higher paid spouse, in most cases, dad will a lot of times step up to the plate and talk financially about how is his child going to afford it. Occasionally, you'll get the guy who says, you know, I don't need to do this. I'm not going to do this. All that money's going to their mother. Not really, because all that money is probably going to the bursar, and not really their mother.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and that's the reason I think all people think about is that it's not about the kid. It's giving the mother money, and that's what they can't stand.
Yeah, well, you know,
really,
sit down and say, okay, fine. How much is the car insurance?
Believe me, all those things that you and I have paid for. It
is. Unfortunately,
it really
it is.
9 out of 10 times, yeah. It's spite. You get those people, and I know a few, who are very good, paid right through college, did everything they needed to do, right. And it's remarkable. But it's the spite that goes along with it.
And unfortunately, that ends up being a minority. People that say, yeah, I'm going to do that because I'm doing it for my child.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
It may not be support directly to mom, but I'm going to pay your car insurance and your phone and your tuition or you know, take out loans like I would have had I stayed.
Right.
The second part of that is spousal support. And spousal support goes, or in Luzerne County, they do it as alimony pendente lite. That goes until the divorce is ended. After the divorce is ended, you may be able to negotiate or get a court to award you alimony. And that's a financial thing almost always. You know, are there sufficient assets where the court just gives you a higher percentage of the assets? Or are there very few assets where the court has to give you alimony because you can't really support yourself? And courts don't like alimony. courts will award it in a minority of cases.
Because they just want it over? They don't want to have any residual stuff?
I think there's a couple different things that happen. I'm surprised at the number of people who lose their job after the divorce or, you know, so then you have all of those things of you worry about, does this person keep working? Well, maybe they do, maybe they don't. Anymore, you're seeing more and more people retire and coming in and say, what are my child support obligations? Maybe of that, the child of the second marriage or the later in life. And they look at you and say, okay, can I retire? So then it becomes a very interesting question. And what would your child support obligation be in the event that you go from a lot of money to what you have in retirement? So,
wow.
Interesting.
Okay.
Okay. So,
any more? One more or no?
Yes.
There's more. Well, very quick because we're
going all right.
Ahead.
Not anticipating that you might have to return to the workforce, I encourage all of my clients to return to the workforce because if all of your income is conditioned upon your divorcing spouse, who may quit a job, leave a job, get laid off. Yes, you can get a support order that doesn't get modified. But it's very tough to collect any money, and you're running after them. So the money you earn is a lot surer than the money you get in support.
So tell everybody how they can get in touch with you, Barbara.
I can be reached at 570-344-7171. My office is located at 1421 East Drinker Street in Dunmore, and I practice in Lackawanna, Luzerne, Susquehanna, Wayne, Wyoming, and now Pike, because they have a new judge in Pike.
There we go.
I'm going back to Pike.
There you go.
Well,
right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Everybody out there, thanks for listening. And we'll see you next week. Be safe and please be nice. Bye.
Bye-bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.